This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, every week we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And with us today is somebody who'll talk to us about, well, the end of everything. The book is called End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World, Asteroids, Supervolcanoes, Rogue Robots, and more. With us today is Brian Walsh. He's a reporter with Time Magazine, and he's the author of this book called End Times, talking about the end of, well, everything. And if you want to find out more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, M-K-A-K-U.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, about a million fans on Twitter every week, and I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest New York Times bestseller is called The Future of Humanity. That's right, Our Destiny in Outer Space. Some people think that we're now entering the second golden era of space exploration. The first golden era took us to the moon, but, well, not much more than that. We scored a touchdown, we took our football, and we went home. But now we're going back into outer space. But today we're going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about, well, what can I say, the end of the world. And once again with us today is Brian Walsh. For 15 years, he's been a foreign correspondent with Time Magazine. So, Brian, let me ask you a question. When you were a youth, what steered you in the direction of journalism and science?
Well, you know, I was always interested in writing and interested in journalism and consuming the news. And when it came to science, when I was younger, I was very passionate about space travel. Actually, I was very, you know, I watched the shuttle launches, you know, growing up in the 80s. And then, you know, continuing into my early years career, what really got me into writing about science and what eventually put me on the path to write this book was I was in Hong Kong in early 2003. I was a reporter there for a number of years. And that was when the SARS epidemic broke out. You probably, you know, get back in the news now with what's going on in China today. But it really, you know, covering down the ground floor really helped me understand the power of science. It was really amazing to see medical researchers track this in real time, sequence the virus, learn how to respond to it. And from there, I got interested in writing about climate change and did that for a number of years, and really putting all those together, you know, later on, fast forward about 10 years, I began to get interested in all the subjects that I eventually cover in End Times, looking at, you know, natural threats, man-made threats from new technologies, all these things that we need to deal with as a species as we try to not just survive our current situation, but actually thrive in the future.
Okay, well, let's get right into your book. Once again, the name of your book is called End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World, Asteroids, Supervolcanoes, Rogue Robots, and more. Well, let's just jump right into the first topic, and that is asteroids. You know, when children read about dinosaurs, they realize that, well, dinosaurs have been around for 200 million years. They dominated the Earth, and then one day, well, they all disappeared. So what is the latest concerning whether or not an asteroid hit the Yucatan of Mexico, wiping out the dinosaurs and leaving us in its wake? And are we also going to be bookended by an asteroid?
Well, yeah, I mean, we definitely see asteroids as kind of the big symbol for these big mass extinctions because of the dinosaurs. We know, you know, increasingly a lot of evidence that a mass asteroid did strike the Yucatan Peninsula about 66 million years ago, and that impact event and all these sort of soot and fires and so forth that were created by that along with a lot of volcanic activity that was happening around the same time, which is sort of a new thing we're learning, just created just massive, very rapid climate change, changed the planet so much that the species, you know, dinosaurs, which had, as you know, had thrived for 200 million years, you know, far longer than we've been on this planet, you know, eventually went extinct. And this is still a threat we face today. Obviously, we have occasional impact events in our own time. We have flybys and ones coming close. At the same time, what's great about this one is that we actually have the ability to do something about it. You know, we have scientists at NASA and elsewhere around the world surveilling this space right now, looking for asteroids, trying to calculate whether they might actually pose a threat to us. Potentially, we even have the ability to actually design space mission design craft that might allow us to deflect an asteroid if it were to be on a collision course. So, you know, as these risks go, this is a good one in the sense that we actually are able to do something about it and actually are doing something about it right now.
Okay, but let's be real about this for a moment. We've all seen the movie Armageddon when Bruce Willis goes into outer space and saves the day. However, in reality, well, the space shuttle has been canceled. The replacement for the space shuttle has been canceled. The moon program was canceled for many years. We have no rocket. No rocket that can reach the outer reaches of our solar system on a moment's notice. So in some sense, aren't we a sitting duck for another asteroid impact? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I do. At this point right now, we don't have that ability. I mean, by which I mean, you know, we theoretically sort of know how we could do it, but we've not invested what we need to do in terms of preparing for that eventuality. You know, we're doing a decent enough job when it comes to actually looking out there into space, seeing what might be coming, but you're absolutely right. If you know, that day were to come, we would have to essentially crash a program. And there have been programs NASA's been, that have been sort of on NASA's budget to potentially create, all right, let's create a test program where we might try to collide with an asteroid, with a spacecraft, see how, you know, the impact that would have, actually try to deflect one. But that keeps getting pushed back or canceled, and I think it's part of exactly what you identify, which is, you know, we've kind of lost some of that willingness to adventure, some of that willingness to really spend the money you need to. And this is not just about exploration, which is incredibly important, but when it comes to asteroid collisions, it could really mean the difference between, you know, our life and, you know, the death of our future.
Well, when scientists go to Congress and ask for funds to monitor these asteroids and maybe deflect one, we encounter the giggle factor. That is, the politicians just giggle at us, eyes roll into the heavens, and they simply shake their heads, and we don't get any money for these things. But what about the fact that there are objects that we don't track? We track thousands of these objects in outer space, but aren't there more objects, let's say larger than a football field, that we don't track at all, and they could catch us totally off guard, giving us almost no moment's warning? So what do you thought about near Earth objects that we don't track that could sneak upon us? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, you know, back in the 1990s, Congress mandated NASA to find the larger asteroids that are out there, potential near Earth objects, you know, larger than 1 kilometer. And you know, we were very good at that. We, you know, we got more than 90%. But of course, the smaller you get, this is on the power law of distribution, the smaller the rocks are, the more of them that are out there. And we've had a much harder time getting those smaller ones, those ones below, say, 140 meters wide, as you know. And that's, you know, that's where we need new equipment like a space-based telescope that could actually just be in orbit, focused specifically on searching for near-Earth objects. Obviously, as you know, when you're looking from the Earth, you're faced with all kinds of obstacles. Obviously, it has to be at night. You know, the weather could be bad. Something out in space could actually be just dedicated to that, would really help us reach that goal. But again, that's something that just, you know, the money is just not there. And you're absolutely right, that giggle factor. It's hard for people to take it seriously because it seems like something from science fiction. But, you know, we know from looking at our planet's own history, this does happen. And we know from something like the Chelyabinsk meteor explosion a few years back in Russia, these things can catch us off guard, you know, and we've been fortunate that, you know, nothing terrible has happened yet, but that doesn't mean that's going to be the case in the future if we don't take the right steps.
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. And once again, you are listening to Brian Walsh of Time Magazine, author of a new book, End Times, A Brief Guide to the, well, the End of the World. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic and have your thoughts heard on 100 cities across the country, give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on Science Fantastic and ask your question on national radio. So, give us a call.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I gotta tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have like cold toes in the winter time, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com. Now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the end of everything. That is, we're talking about Armageddon, Doomsday, you name it. We're talking about asteroids. We're talking about killer viruses, super volcanoes, rogue robots. With us today is Brian Walsh. For the past 15 years, a foreign correspondent and reporter for Time Magazine, author of a new book called End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World. Well, we last left off, we were talking about the fact that, well, the dinosaurs did not have a space program. That's right, the dinosaurs did not have a space program, and that's why they're not here today to talk about this question. But we do have a space program, and the question is, well, how often can we expect a city buster to come at us from outer space? You mentioned Russia. Russia was hit twice twice in the past 100 years. But now let's talk about something bigger, a nation buster, something like Apophis, another asteroid that will whiz by the Earth in 2029. So the question is, what's out there? I mean, are there objects bigger than a football field that has our name on it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's definitely potentially ones out there that you know, you're looking at that size, where you're looking at something that would risk a city, you know, and obviously a lot of things would have to go wrong for that to happen. You know, if an asteroid hits the Earth, you know, the Earth, as you know, mostly water, so it would actually have to zero in and hit one. But, you know, again, you mentioned twice that Russia has been hit by one of these twice for the last 100 years. The one early was back in 1908, Tsonga, back in Siberia. That was quite a large, quite a large asteroid, and that actually, you know, didn't kill anyone, thankfully, because it hit Siberia, not a lot of people there, especially back then. But, you know, if that had hit a New York City, a Moscow, you know, you would have seen essentially total devastation. And it just seems to me that, again, this is something where, unlike a lot of these other risks, we actually can take those steps. We actually can protect ourselves. We're not the dinosaurs. We do have a safe space program. We just actually have to make the most of it. And that requires taking these kind of threats seriously, which is a challenge, but, you know, it's better safe than sorry, especially when it comes to something like this.
Well, we once had an astronomer on Science Fantastic, and I asked him, what is the worst-case scenario? And he said the worst-case scenario is, first of all, a comet whose orbit is unpredictable. Some comets have orbits that are quite erratic, come at us from behind the sun. So our telescopes do not pick up the comet because it is behind the sun. And when it comes out from the sun, we only have a few weeks' warning that it's going to impact on the planet Earth. And so he said, in a worst-case scenario, we're totally caught off guard, no warning whatsoever, and we are hit within just a few weeks after we sight the comet. So, well, what are your thoughts? Is that just science fiction, or do we really have to take some of these scenarios seriously?
I mean, that's not science fiction, clearly. The chance of that happening, I imagine, very, very low, especially on sort of our time scale that we're talking about. And ultimately, as you know, I'm not sure there's much we could do about that. That might be a situation where, you know, that's a mass extinction event for you. And, you know, I think we sort of, you know, go to sleep knowing that that's extremely, extremely, extremely unlikely. But, you know, again, that's the nature of the universe. The universe is a hostile place. There's perhaps a reason why, you know, we haven't found a lot of evidence of life out there, because, you know, it's tough to survive. It's tough to survive. And that could be one of those examples right there.
Okay, well, moving on, because your book talks about a whole slew of possible catastrophes. The next is supervolcanoes. Now, when people go to Yellowstone National Park, they think of Yogi Bear. They think about how nice it is that Old Faithful erupts periodically. And it's basically a national institution. However, some people say that lurking underneath that volcano is a supervolcano that will one day, not if, but when, rip the guts out of North America, destroying what we call the United States, or what's left of it. So what are your thoughts? When could this occur, and what about the magnitude of if a supervolcano erupts right in our own backyard?
I mean, that would be truly catastrophic. You know, volcanoes are ranked on what's called the Volcanic Explosivity Index, kind of like a Richter scale for volcanic eruptions, and what we call a supervolcano is 8 out of 8 on that. And we've never experienced that in human history. You know, we've gotten one down for that, but we've never gotten an 8. The last one was more than 26,000 years ago. So we're dealing with the unprecedented if that happens. If it does, and Yellowstone has blown about 3 times over the last 2.1 million years, you would essentially just see unbelievably vast amounts of volcanic ash, other soil thrown into the atmosphere. It would create what's known as a sort of a volcanic winter. You know, it would rain ash around much of North America, but it would also lead to very rapid cooling, which would obviously have a devastating effect on farming, to the point where it wouldn't just be North America that would be hit. It would be really the entire world that would have to struggle with that. And that would be, you know, to me, this is a really underappreciated threat, because just looking at the history of the planet, these kind of eruptions do happen more often than asteroid impacts. I mean, still extremely, extremely rare, but more often. And, you know, this is one that's right in our backyard. The good news is, we are tracking it. We have the USGS, the U.S. Geological Survey, has a team at Yellowstone that's constantly monitoring for any kind of seismic activity. But that would be something that would be, potentially end of days. It would be very hard to come back from.
Well, we had one scientist on Science Fantastic who pointed out that humans are all almost clones of each other, genetically speaking, meaning that we had a small group of common ancestors about 70,000 years ago. That 70,000 years ago, something wiped out almost all Homo sapiens from the planet Earth, leaving only, get this, a few hundred, maybe a thousand people to repopulate the entire planet. So literally, we're all brothers and sisters, all descended from just a few hundred people 70,000 years ago. And some people say that what happened 70,000 years ago was the eruption of a supervolcano, Mount Toba. So what are your thoughts about whether or not a supervolcano actually almost destroyed the entire human race?
I think there's strong evidence that might well be the case. We know that Toba was a massive supervolcanic eruption. That's Toba's in Indonesia, or used to be. That's obviously a big lake right now. And we can actually see, scientists are actually able to sort of look for what's called tephra. This is sort of volcanic ash, and they can actually, almost like a fingerprint, they can actually sort of find the chemical signature for Toba specifically. And they found evidence of that ash spreading all the way to Africa, to Europe. So you're looking at a really global effect. And then again, when you think about the size of that kind of eruption, when you do the kind of computer climate modeling as to what would have happened to the climate in the aftermath of that kind of eruption, again, you see that volcanic winter. And you can imagine, a humanity that's much smaller already than it is now, that's, closer to survivalism than we are now, really struggling to survive in the aftermath of that. And definitely that seems like a plausible explanation as to why our numbers dwindled so quickly and why we have that sort of bottleneck, essentially, where, a larger number beforehand, big events, a few survivors, and now we see that impact in genetics, or as you know, a lot of similarity among human beings, unusual amount that you have to sort of look at that kind of explanation for.
Okay, well then the big question is, given the fact that it happened before, the fact that maybe, just maybe, the human race almost got wiped out by a supervolcano, the question is, when will Yellowstone blow up? Do we really know? We know that it's inevitable. It will happen. Not a question of if, it's a question of when. But, when will Yellowstone blow up?
Well, we don't. I wish we could actually put a number on that. The best we can know is to look at what's happened in the past and then sort of extrapolate that to the future. So again, three times over 2.1 million years ago, last time about 640,000 years ago. So, you could divide that up and say, maybe we're kind of due, but that's not really how it works. That's just based off an average. So, in any given year, even a given century, that chance is extremely small. But it's not zero. And while we can't stop a volcanic supervolcano, mostly, unless other than some potentially far out plans on an asteroid, we can do things to kind of prepare for it if we knew it were coming. We could prepare in terms of food. We could think about things like that. So it's something we need to be aware of, to monitor, and not just in Yellowstone, but there are a number of other potential supervolcanoes elsewhere around the world, a lot of which are not monitored as closely as Yellowstone, which is kind of worrying.
Okay, well, some people believe that supervolcanoes, not an asteroid, wiped out the dinosaurs. However, some physicists, because they are physicists, believe in an alternative theory. The fact that the asteroid that plowed into Mexico 66 million years ago was so great that it sent a shockwave that blew out the other crust of the side of the Earth, causing supervolcanoes. So we'll ask you after the break whether there's a 1-2 punch that wiped out the dinosaurs and perhaps even almost life on Earth. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. Here's your chance to ask a question on 100 radio stations across the country. So, give us a call.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Senate has voted to not allow witnesses and documents in President Trump's impeachment trial. Two Republican senators broke rank and voted yes, Susan Collins and Mitt Romney. All others were along party lines. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said it will be remembered as the day the Senate did not live up to its responsibilities and went along with a sham trial.
It's a grand tragedy, one of the worst tragedies that the Senate has ever overcome. America will remember this day, unfortunately.
Democrats are meeting to decide on their strategy going forward. There was an incident at President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. The Florida Highway Patrol was following a black SUV as it broke through not one, but two security points. The vehicle and the suspects are currently in custody. This is USA Radio News.
Our U.S. Constitution is amazing. It's full of what's called negative rights, designed to protect us from the corrupt powers of a dictatorship.
Like our right to worship our own God, not some official state religion.
Our right to prevent the government from seizing our property without paying fair market value for it.
Or our right to be tried by a jury of our peers, people like us, not by some star tribunal.
And that's why America has become the richest, most just society in the world.
Other countries force so-called positive rights onto their citizens. These enable one group to take from another group their free speech, money, and choice by using government force. Socialists love wielding this power over people.
Sometimes we take our freedoms for granted, but we can lose our Bill of Rights and our Constitution and become like Venezuela or North Korea, failed, brutal socialist regimes.
We need your help to spread the good news about our amazing U.S. Constitution. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com.
Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
This is Science Fantastic.
With Professor Michio Kaku. Once again with us today is Brian Walsh. For the past 15 years, he's been a foreign correspondent with Time Magazine, but he's the author of a new book called End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World, Asteroids, Supervolcanoes, Rogue Robots, Superviruses, and many more. Well, before the break, we talked about the fact that maybe a supervolcano will eventually destroy North America. We don't know when. Maybe a supervolcano almost wiped out humanity itself 70,000 years ago. But some people think that the asteroid that plowed into Mexico actually created a supervolcano by sending a shockwave that went right through the Earth to the other side of the planet and blew out the crust in India, where supervolcanoes helped also to wipe out the dinosaurs. So any thoughts about this two-in-one punch that maybe the asteroid that plowed into Mexico also did in the dinosaurs by sending off supervolcanoes? Any thoughts?
Yeah, this is an active question, you know, that you can sometimes get a lot of disagreement about. I think there was some research that was published in Science just in mid-January that seemed to really, again, put a lot more of the emphasis on the asteroid. I mean, what the researchers found was that, well, yes, there were these volcanoes on the other side of the planet that were extremely active. You know, it seemed like the worst of that was actually well before the extinction, whereas the data seems to indicate that the asteroid strike and really the dinosaur extinction was extremely contemporaneous, you know, happening very at almost at the same time, or at least, you know, in geologic terms, almost the same time. So there's certainly volcanoes have been much more the cause of mass extinctions over the course of the planet than asteroids have. But I think in this particular case, it seems as if, you know, the asteroid is really the one that got us, the one that really is the culprit.
Okay, well, when you learn about history, you also learn about the fact that history has been changed by super viruses and super germs. Take a look at the Black Plague. Once upon a time, a good fraction of the entire population of Europe got wiped out by a super germ of some sort, maybe the bubonic plague. But now we're also having to worry about new viruses, the coronavirus. So the question is, how dangerous are these viruses?
I think that they're very dangerous. And what we're seeing with the coronavirus out of Wuhan in China is the way that, you know, the way we live today can kind of make it more likely that you'll get these new kind of outbreaks of new kind of viruses. You know, obviously there's 7.5 plus billion people on the planet. We're now very connected, so things move very quickly. And you have, you know, the ability of these viruses to jump from animals to people. And they've done this before, and they've done it continuously. You know, I mentioned SARS from back in 2003. So that's always going to be a major threat for us. I think when it comes to the end of the world, probably not likely to happen from a natural virus like this, because, you know, natural pathogens kind of look for an equilibrium. You know, at the end of the day, like, it's not in the interest of it to kill us all. You know, so they tend to sort of maybe make us very sick, and they can cause a lot of people to die, but not get us all at once the way we're worried about. You know, so that's one positive thing, but that doesn't mean that we don't have to worry about them a lot, that we don't have to do a lot to sort of minimize that effect.
Okay, and the other question is, well, where do these viruses come from? Some people say that it's animals. So throughout history, isn't it true that these viruses come from animals, like the flu? Many versions of the flu come from birds, and they come from China because, well, some people think because Chinese farmers live in close proximity to birds and to pigs, and that's where the flu viruses come from. So some people think that most of the diseases that we have charted over history come from animals, and the coronavirus, maybe they come from bats. Well, let's take a short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to talk about the end times, the end of the world with Brian Walsh. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Here's your chance to ask a question and get on 100 radio stations across the country. Give us a call.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results vary. Exclusions apply.
Contacts and glasses are such a hassle. I'd love to finally get LASIK, but...
I'm going
to
stop you right there. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way.
Isn't LASIK expensive?
Not at the LASIK Vision Institute. We're offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. See for free if LASIK is right for you by texting DO88 to 350350.
But I'm really busy.
A text only takes seconds, and the LASIK procedure typically only takes 15 minutes. And best of all, most patients can get back to work the following day.
I had no idea.
The LASIK Vision Institute uses the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision. We've performed over 1.3 million procedures. That's experience you can trust. And we're offering 20% off our already low-cost services.
What's that text again?
Text DO88 to 350350. That's DO88 to 350350 to schedule your free consultation today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again on Science Fantastic, we explore the cutting edge of science, science that affects all of us. And once again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic and ask your questions on 100 radio stations across the country, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on national radio. But once again, with us today is Brian Walsh, for the past 15 years, a foreign correspondent for Time Magazine, author of an exciting new book hitting the shelves, End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World, Asteroids, Supervolcanoes, Rogue Robots, and more. Before the break, we were talking about the coronavirus, and some people say that, well, maybe the coronavirus comes from bats, from animals, and especially in China, there's a very vigorous trade in animals. Animals that are eaten, animals for pets, exotic animals that most people never come in contact with, animals that in turn come in contact with bats. And some people think that maybe that's where SARS came from, another killer virus, and the coronavirus. So what are your thoughts about where these things come from and what can we do about it?
It's definitely animals that are the source of nearly all these kind of new outbreaks that you see. And it sort of, you know, ranges which animal it is. For some reason, bats seem to often be the original reservoir where these viruses often start up. You know, you mentioned SARS. That seems to be the case. We've seen a lot of evidence that's the case with this new coronavirus as well. Actually, Ebola, although they haven't find it out for sure. There's a lot of suspicion that Ebola originates in bats as well. But often what happens is that they may jump to an animal that's closer to human beings, a food animal, something like that. And the concern is, exactly, like if you have humans and living very close with domestic animals or even wild animals, you can get those viruses passing from one to the other, and that's where these outbreaks start. And so One thing to think about, and we've looked this back during SARS, it's come up again with the Wuhan coronavirus, is, you know, do we need to regulate, you know, these live animal markets where you have lots of different species very close together, ability to swap germs that way, along with people, very easy for it to jump from an animal to a human being. Realistically, that's always going to be a threat, and that's probably something we really need to think about, clearing that up in some way or trying to regulate, otherwise we continue to see these kind of viruses emerge.
Okay, well, moving on in your book, because you have a number of threats that face all of humanity, and that is something that's self-inflicted, and that is artificial intelligence. Recently, we had this national debate. On one hand, we had Elon Musk of SpaceX saying, watch out, robots are an existential threat to the existence of humanity. And then we had the guy that founded Facebook, and he was saying, ha, humbug. What are you talking about? We're talking about jobs. We're talking about prosperity. We're talking about economic activity. So we have two different points of view, one from Facebook, one from SpaceX. What are your thoughts about whether or not artificial intelligence is good for us or bad for us?
I think it's both, and that's maybe a bit of a cop-out, but the reality is that it's less what it is itself than how it's going to be developed and who's going to control it, how it's going to be used. So I definitely see the argument that Elon Musk and others make that there's a real risk that, you know, if this continues to grow very quickly, if it gets more and more intelligent, if you're looking at something like that, it could potentially be so powerful that it would be impossible to resist. And that would be an existential risk. You see a number of ways that would unfold. I can also see the point of others who say, well, we're just never going to get that far. You know, at this point, it's proven very hard to even create self-driving cars, so what's the risk really of a super intelligence that can control the entire world? But even if you put that aside, you know, the risk from misinformation created by AI is very real. You know, I worry a lot about the creation of new kind of autonomous weapons that actually would take firing out of the hands of human beings, put it in the hands of machines. That, to me, seems extremely dangerous. And anything that would connect, you know, AI to, say, nuclear weapons, things like that, that's where we should be really concerned. So I think it's very important for computer scientists and those working in the field to think about, you know, what are the impacts of what I'm going to do? You know, we do that with biological research. We think about, you know, could this hurt someone? We should think about that, too, when we're creating new kinds of AI, new kinds of machine learning systems.
Well, let me tell you my thoughts, and I'll get your thoughts on the same question. Robots today have the intelligence of a cockroach, a bug. Even a bug can maneuver, find mates, find shelter, and robots can't even do that. But they'll eventually be as smart as a mouse, a rat, rabbit, dog, cat, monkey. And then, well, after the break, we'll talk about what happens when robots become self-aware. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on national radio. So give us a call.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference. An epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops and events with leading experts Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about something we normally don't talk about, and that is the end of everything, the end of the world. The book is called End Times by Brian Walsh. For the past 15 years, a foreign correspondent for Time magazine, and it's a brief guide to the end of the world, asteroids, supervolcanoes, rogue robots, and more. Well, before the break, we were talking about whether or not robots are good for us. My personal point of view, and I'd like your thoughts, is that right now robots have the intelligence of a cockroach. Even a cockroach can find shelter, find mates, scurry in the forest, find food, and you put our most advanced robots in the forest, and what do? They fall over and get lost. That's the state of robotics today. But eventually, perhaps in 50, 100 years, perhaps, they'll be as smart as a mouse, as smart as a rabbit, as smart as a dog or a cat. But then, I suspect that by the end of the century, when they're as smart as a monkey, that's when the danger signs go up. Because monkeys are self-aware. Monkeys know they are monkeys. They know they are not human. Now, dogs are confused. You see, dogs think that we are a dog. We're the top dog, they're the underdog, and that's why, genetically speaking, they follow us, because we're the alpha male. However, monkeys have no illusions that we are the alpha male or not. And therefore, when robots become as smart as a monkey, they are self-aware, they know the difference between a robot and a human, and at that point, watch out. But, well, what are your thoughts? You're the one who wrote the book, End Times.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think at this point, when you try to gauge the intelligence of a machine, a robot, an AI, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's narrow, by which I mean, even a dog can do a lot of different things. It can be taught things. It can kind of learn in some ways. Machines right now, I mean, it might be, you know, like a chess-playing algorithm from a company like DeepMind can beat every human being in chess, but it can't do anything else. You know, it couldn't respond to an unexpected situation. So it's not really until machines and robots are able to generalize what they can do that these questions really begin to really pop up, I think, in a meaningful way, because at that point it does get dangerous, because if you can get something that can generalize what it can do and learn, plus it has the abilities a machine does, you know, and potentially, you know, massive memory, unbelievable speed of processing, you know, that kind of thing that human beings simply can't, then you're looking at something that is truly competitive with human beings and potentially far better than us in some kind of ways. And that's where I get concerned, especially if you think about who is controlling them and what they're being used for.
Okay, well, you have so many different kinds of end times in your book, including, of course, nuclear war, climate change, but you also mention biotechnology. That is, the possibility of designer children, the possibility of killer germs escaping from the laboratory, and we now have something called CRISPR technology, which allows us to edit, almost like editing on a typewriter, edit the genomics of DNA. So explain to us where we are now with regards to biotech and end times.
This is one I think I'm particularly worried about. You know, obviously a lot of focus ends up going to AI, but I think this one is actually a much bigger threat. And that's because, as I mentioned, you know, obviously natural diseases like the one we're seeing now in Wuhan coronavirus is a threat, but it's kind of limited, you know, again, because it doesn't want to kill all of us. It wants to coexist with us. But if you have the ability to actually engineer, edit virus, make it both extremely contagious and extremely virulent, let it loose in the world, then you're talking about something that is a global existential threat. And that's getting easier and easier to do. And as it gets easier, more people can do it, the better the chances someone will do this. They might even have a good reason. You know, they might be doing research on the virus, trying to amplify it in a way that helps them understand it, and it gets out. The viruses do escape labs. That actually does happen. Or it could be a weapons program, or it could be a terrorist. And that's why I'm very concerned, because, you know, if you can supercharge these things that already kill us in their natural form, then you're looking at something that's very, very dangerous. And these new CRISPR tools, gene editing tools, is just going to make that easier and raise that risk.
Well, the greatest killer in the entire history of the human race was the 1918 flu virus, which wiped out more people than World War I. But scientists have since genomically sequenced the entire genome of that virus and put it on the web. So your cell phone right now, your cell phone can download the greatest killer in the history of the human race. And one day, some people think, one day a high school kid will be able to get on a typewriter, type ATCG, and create and manipulate viruses, right, as a science fair project. Now, when you put those two together, that's not very optimistic. The fact that we actually do know the genome of the greatest killer in the history of Homo sapiens, and high school kids trying to impress their girlfriends may want to one day type out the genetic code of one of these killer viruses. But is that just science fiction? What are your thoughts?
I mean, that particular scenario is science fiction right now. I mean, you couldn't do that as a high school kid. You know, you have the ability. There are companies and labs that can actually synthesize DNA. So you actually give them instructions, and they will print it out the way we, you know, like print out the book essentially, and actually send it to you. But there are safety measures in place for that. They look out for dangerous virus and things like that. But you have to actually have, you know, a fair amount of scientific ability to do that. But that said, you know, the same thing used to be true for using computers. You know, you go back 40 years, that was something only experts could do. It was very hard to punch card. Now, you know, we can do it on our phones. If that's the future we're headed towards with biology, that's both, you know, very exciting, because a lot of great things will come out of that in terms of medical care, who knows what else, but also very dangerous, because a lot of people will suddenly be able to create a lot of havoc if they choose, and if we don't have regulations in place and surveillance in place to make sure that just like that doesn't happen. You know, that's something to worry about, I'd say.
Okay, so think about it. One day somebody may weaponize the AIDS virus and make it airborne. Airborne AIDS would wipe out about 98% of the entire human race. Okay, Brian, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you.
And once again, we've run out of time, but the book is called End Times, A Brief Guide to the End of the World, Asteroids, Supervolcanoes, Rogue Robots, and More. And you have been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call, and perhaps one day you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on Science Fantastic.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management.
You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.